Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The trade deadline has come and gone. Are the Flyers still contending for that playoff spot, or do they make a move that says sellers? Let's talk about it all right now. It is episode 171 of Orange and Backcheck. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code THPN when signing up to get your bonus. And as always, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and all that fun stuff wherever you get us on your podcasting platforms and all the fun stuff. OrangeBackcheck at gmail.com to reach us. And man, it has been a week. We have been on a mini hiatus. We'll get into that. I'll explain what happened at the end of the pod. It has nothing to do with hockey, so we'll save, indulge everyone at the end there. But the trade deadline has come and gone. And what I am most anticipating people to be, and I've seen people to be happy about, this is, you know what, on the whole, Scott, this is one of the most rare moments in Philadelphia sports where everyone looks at what the Flyers did, Danny Briere and company did, and said, bravo. I think the consensus is bravo. That's exactly what you want as a team that is trying to teeter between realizing they don't have the talent to contend for a cup yet, and at the same time, you know that you're contending for a playoff spot right now, third in the Metropolitan, trying to make somewhat of a quote-unquote deep run. I mean, you're playing with house money once you're in with a team like this. You got a first-round pick for Sean Walker. So, like, that's everyone after first few weeks, they thought the market was cooling, and you still managed to pull that off for 2025, and now I think you have six picks over in the first two rounds over the next two seasons. You can't go wrong with that when you're a team that's rebuilding and you're also contending for a playoff spot.
Well, let me ask you, is this team rebuilding or are they doing an aggressive retool?
Yeah, that's honestly, this signals that they think
Chuck Fletcher's quote there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I hate the word aggressive retool because of Chuck Fletcher. Truly, like, I think because the difference between what Chuck Fletcher was saying and doing obviously did not mesh with what he was saying to the public, what he was saying out loud. What Danny Briere, for the most part, I think there are obviously still some lingo, what you get with any sports franchise, of beating around the bush of what is really going on or what they're trying to do. The not falling in love with some players. I think they held on to a couple players that they really could have gotten some value out of, Nick Seeler, but they decided to sign him. And that's fine. The years are a little long, but the AAV, you're not going to complain about that. I think it's like 2.6. Like, it's a very small impact on a cap hit that's going to go up over the next couple of seasons. But I think the big thing is, like, you added a little bit of depth on your defensive line. Obviously, they sent him down right now with Eric Johnson down to AHL. But
no, he'll be playing.
Did come up.
So it was Ryan Johansson that was sent down.
That's right. So they're gonna kind of add some depth here. The biggest problem, obviously, is Jamie Drysdale is out. Ristolainen is still out. Like, you're hindering on your blue line while also getting a first-round pick for Sean Walker. So it was interesting. I didn't think they were going to pull the trigger on this because of the lack of depth, and they're trying to, like, contend with the playoffs. But similar to what your point was a couple episodes ago, where they were like, hey, defensive blue line is the most important part of this, and you're already bleeding at it, and do you really want to hinder yourself? They made a decision. Yeah, we are going to make that choice because we know where we stand as a franchise. And that's fine. I was completely fine with getting a first round pick. Again, I don't think anyone's complaining about it. And that's a good thing.
No. And I think they have 10 overall draft picks they can use on this draft, which is great. And really, you only gave away a fourth just to get depth, like a fourth round pick. Like, I'm sorry, it's you don't need to be concerned about giving up that asset. Where they're at right now, I love the spot that they're in. This is not a, you know, year in, year out type deal, because what they're doing is that they're in a full rebuild. Believe it or not, they've been in a full rebuild. It started last year. That you don't realize that this is year two of the rebuild. If you really want to talk about, you know, they really crashed and burned and tore to the studs 2 years ago when they were dead last in the league, pretty much. Last year was the rebuilding. You start with the culture. Everything is built around culture. I cannot emphasize that enough on this podcast or any podcast. Everything is about culture. That's why the Eagles have sustained success, because they have a great culture. Okay. That's why the Phillies are doing very well, because they have a team and a clubhouse with a great culture. Everything revolves around culture. So last year was building the foundation of that culture, the expectations, what we expect, what players are going to be a part of that culture, which players aren't. Where you're at this year now, people are saying you exceeded expectations, but there's clearly enough talent at the NHL level for this team to compete. And I'll say it was really impressive even last night, because their depth really showed up, because you played two AHL players against the best team in the NHL and you held them to one goal. Now, regardless, that may have been more Sam Erskine because he played out of his mind. But at the same time, that says something, because you still need to have a team game there and you still need to play well enough to make sure that you don't have guys like Sasha Barkov and Vladimir Tarasenko, that guys who can make a really big impact, Carter Verhaeghe, guys who can make an impact. And you held them to one goal, and you held them to one goal until late in the game, like until you finally took the lead with 20 seconds. But the point where I'm going with this is that I have to applaud the Flyers because they're sticking with it. Everybody needs to stop looking at what's happening on the ice and look what's happening off the ice. And what I mean by that is that you took one of your better defensemen this year and said, you know what? We know we're probably not going to re-sign him. Let's try to get as maximum value as we can out of this. So how do we do that? Okay. Colorado is interested. Colorado wants to take it on, but they need to dump some salary, so they get rid of Ryan Johansson. The Flyers pick him up and say, we don't need him, even though he's a former torts guy. We're going to send him down to the AHL and see what he does. We'll see what the plan is for him down the line. You know, they tried to flip him and try to get him to deal, but nothing materialized. So what? They utilize their cap space to get a first round pick for a player that they weren't going to budge on and say, you want this? You got to give a first round pick. We'll take your cap room too to do it. That is great leverage for this team. And that's part of the rebuild, is because what they're doing here is now that they're acquiring assets to continue building in the future. But at the same time, they have a team that's good enough to make this push here, because other teams are severely underperforming, like the Devils, like the Penguins, like the Islanders. And the Flyers have been very opportunistic. So if you're looking at it saying, yes, this is a step in the rebuild, and I love where they're at, because they're at that part right now where it's not mediocrity of, you know, they get in, but, you know, they may not win around. This team, yes, they're not a Stanley Cup contender this year. But no matter what you think, you can get excited about it. There's no way this team can go three rounds deep and beat a team like Boston or Florida in a seven-game series. They just don't have the firepower. Offensively, they play great defensively. You have a rookie goaltender and you don't have the firepower.
Two.
That's not a mix. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and
now you have two.
Yeah, you have two young goaltenders. So where they're at with this right now is that you have a team here, a young, hungry team that is trying to push for a playoff spot and be playing meaningful games while trying to hold third place in the division, as depleted as they are. You want this in a rebuild. This is where you want to be, because this is where these guys are getting this experience. And if they can get in this season, and this is why I predicted early this year, they are going to win a round of the playoffs. You win a round early in your career and you don't get stuck in the myriad like the Sixers are, or where you get stuck in, you know, can't get out of the second round, or Toronto, where they can't get out of the first round and beat the classier teams. You win a round early, you gain that experience. you take it and go, okay, you build on this for next year. And those players that internally are going to be better, you also might make some moves to make your team better. And then next thing you know, this isn't going to be like a jersey situation because you're not all predicated on offense. You're predicated on a team defensive game, an overall team game that works hard. And that is very difficult to beat in the NHL. So I love where they're at in this rebuild. Kudos to Danny, the moves he made. No complaints whatsoever. They got value. They got depth. They got, frankly, they got better. Not just this year, but long term, they got better.
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I saw that I'm not surprised that it happened, but I didn't expect it to happen, if that makes sense, just today or on Friday at the trade deadline. Wade Allison. Obviously, he doesn't seem like he was part of the Torts plan. We heard Torts explicitly say, like, he's hurt too often. He's banged up too often. He's been just living in the AHL down in Lehigh for the better part of this season, for the entire season, really, this year. And he was traded off. And now he's getting a fresh start. You get a fringe prospect in Denis. I think that's how you – I don't know if he's French or not. I'm thinking of, like, the director, Denis Villeneuve, of Dune Part 2. But anyway, I it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well – Dion Phaneuf?
Did the former Flames
– No. I'm trying to compare it to the director, Denis Phaneuf.
Dion Phaneuf. Yeah, the former Leaf.
Yes,
the former Leaf, the former Flame, former King. Yep.
The guy that directed, he left the NHL and now is a superstar director.
Listen, he's married to Alicia Cuthbert, man. I don't blame him one bit. That's the girl next door that, you know, I'm sure he's got, if it's anything like that movie, good for him.
But Wade Allison, I always was like, okay, he does fit the Flyers mold in the sense of how he plays. But to what Tort said, he's always too hurt, so... Got to get rid of him because he needs a fresh start, trying to get healthy and just kind of go from there. I do agree with your consensus that it does seem like the team is, I'll say marginally better.
No. I'm talking about this year marginally.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the future.
For the future.
This is what I really like about what they did here. Okay, they've already been banged up. They went out and get a right shot defenseman in Eric Johnson, who's a depth piece, and you know he's at the end, he's at the tail end of his career.
Yep.
The Ryan Johansson move, I know they don't know what really to do with him, but it really gives you some depth down the middle if you ever need center depth, if you have injuries there. And that's a huge thing because, look, he has been on the back nine for a little while now. He's not the player that he was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, he's got 23 points in 63 games. Last year, he had 28 points in 55 games, and before that he was a pretty consistently 50-60 point player per season, but he's definitely on the back nine for sure. But the bigger thing for me, I look at this and saying, I love that they went and got a reclamation project in a guy like Denis Gurianov, and that's what people don't realize. That people say, who'd you trade that Wade Allison for? You traded him for Denis Gurianov, who is a 25-year-old
same winger. Age as Wade Allison. Yep, same position.
Yeah, so it's the thing. He's 26. Mm-hmm. He's 26. The former first-round pick back in 2015. He tore it up in the bubble in the playoffs for Dallas. And I think he scored a hat trick in the clinching game against Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I think it was game 6 or 7 when they won. He had, in 2020, in that bubble, he had 17 points in 27 games, 9 goals, 8 assists. You know the raw talent is there. He's big. He's a 6'3", 205-pound player on the wing who likes to shoot. That's potential there. He's only 26 years old, almost 27. But I like that there is a little more there to say, you know what? We can get this guy on the cheap, and we can take him, and maybe we can build him into something. Because, look, like, it's in the kind of the same situation that Owen Tippett was in Florida. There just wasn't room. He wasn't going to get it. And look how Owen Tippett is blossoming, you know?
Especially under the tutelage of Torts. I mean, remember the old adage, no one likes to play for for Tortorella except the players that play for him.
Like, right, exactly. And that's the truth. Everybody, except Brandon Dubinsky.
Yeah, that's a different story. That guy. And yeah. Potentially Kevin Hayes. We'll see what
happens. Oh, yeah. Or Ivan Provorov, even.
But again, that's a culture thing.
Exactly. It's all culture, 100%. And, you know, What this tells me is that, you know what, there, because even Jonesy said at the beginning of the season, they say, like, you know, there might be a reclamation project, projects out here or something that we can go through. I haven't seen the Flyers do this, like a reclamation progress like that, project like this, since like Nikolai Zverev. And what I mean, like, that was like over, it was like almost 10, 15 years ago. Now, like a guy who had really had some talent, had some issues, for whatever reason, couldn't get going. You know, he got traded to Nashville. I mean, look, he's played in 14 games this year and he's got 4 points. So, I mean, but at the same time, you know, it's not like he hasn't been played before. In 3 seasons with Dallas, he had, see, his first season in 1920, in 1819, he was a rookie, he had 4 points. But that year, the bubble year, the year of the lockout, the year of COVID, he had 20 goals. He was a 20-goal scorer. He had 29 points, 20 of them were goals. And then in 55 games, he had 30 points, 12 goals, 18 assists. Then 21, 22, 11 goals, 20 assists. So you could see that the potential's there for goal scoring. He's got good size. He's got good speed. He's got, sometimes it's just coaching and getting through to a player and a change of scenery. And, you know, I think that with having an opportunity in Dallas and then getting moved to Montreal and then Nashville and none of it's working out, like, he just needs to kind of get a home base set up and see what this guy can do, because he's on his fourth team this year. So, yeah. You know, I'm sorry, his fourth team in 2 years. So it's definitely an opportunity for the Flyers to do something well here. And I think that that's a really smart move on their part. You come out with a potential player, a diamond in the rough, first round pick, and a depth defenseman, and all it cost you through all of that was a little bit of cap space and a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Complete win.
I saw people complaining that they gave up a fourth round pick for that. And
because people are idiots.
Yeah, I just look at it.
People are idiots. If you are, you gave up a fourth round pick to a non-playoff team, a fourth round pick in a weak-ass draft, gambling, basically you throw a fourth round gamble at a guy who's won a Stanley Cup. Like, for crying out loud, stop, you idiots. You're all idiots. If you think that was a dumb move for a fourth-round pick, you're a fucking moron.
I was just going to talk about how, yeah, they gave up a fourth-round pick in 2024, but they have potentially, well, they do. They're going to have two first-round picks this season, 2 second-round picks, a third, and then 2 fifths, and 2 sixths, and a seventh. Like that. After, once you get after the round three, it's kind of thrown darts at a dartboard.
Right, exactly. Like, God, like, what if that pick could have been, like, you know, okay, shut up. It doesn't matter. It's like 6 years down the line. Nobody's going to give a shit.
The only problem that I have is, well, not even the problem, but like that Drew trade, which is obviously, like, you make that trade now in hindsight every time.
Yeah.
Because how Owen Tippett has developed. But Florida's on an absolute tear. They're the best team in the league right now, and you might be looking at the last pick in the first round, but that's fine. You essentially got 2 first-round picks because of Owen Tippett.
And here's another thing that you got to give Chuck Fletcher a little bit of credit here.
He does. I mean, we talked about that, how, like, he is partially, or if not all, responsible for the youth that you have on this team. At the moment, obviously it didn't get the right coach at first with Alain Vigneault, who had a hot start, and then it completely fell apart at the wheels.
Too many martinis after wins.
Yeah, exactly. Way too many martinis. And not saying Kata Hot, or Carter, instead of saying his name properly, it was Kata Hot.
Yeah.
That's the only time we'll mention Carter Hart today on this podcast. But before we get into the moves they did not make and what it could mean for this offseason, so are you giving Danny Briere and company an A for this draft or for this trade deadline? Or are you giving, what grade level are you giving?
Absolutely. For where they're at and where they need to be, absolutely. This is 100% an absolute deal. And I'll say this too, is that what I was going to say before about Chuck Fletcher, I got to give him a little credit, because back when, before the Drew trade, there were talks that, you know, of like Alex Newhook and Bowen Byram. Bowen Byram just got flipped to Buffalo, like, you know, for as part of the Casey Mittelstadt deal. So, I mean, it's It definitely says something, because there's a lot of potential, because he's had some injury problems too. So I really got to give the Flyers credit, because, like, and you have to give Fletcher credit, like, he maximized what he could out of Drew, and you're seeing the rewards for it now. Like, yeah, it wasn't good in the moment, but Ross Farwell did for the Flyers years ago before the Flyers got good again when Bobby Clarke became general manager. You had a guy who can kind of get the ground game going, but the NHL product sucks. Now you have a guy who's like, okay, we have all these assets. Let's make the NHL product good. So I absolutely give Danny and team an A. Great job.
There was also to the Giroux point, like there was also like the heat of the moment of the rumors that that was the only team that Giroux was considering. He did not want to go to the West, to Colorado, who obviously there were rumors around the time then of them going there, and you could have gotten a first round pick and something else for that. But then obviously it came out that it, or at least the rumors were that Giroux did not want to go to the West Coast because of the family. Mm-hmm. You get it at the end, especially now that he's up in Ottawa, his hometown. So makes sense. Like it sounded like, and maybe it does, it is that case, Fletcher's hands were tied and he got what he could. And it won out in the end. It could have gone the other way, but it won out. So you got to give him his flowers for that, for sure.
Before you say anything else real quick, actually, I'm going to amend my thing. I'm going to say A-, but it's something we'll talk about later on. I think everything is great, but there's something I would have liked to see that just didn't happen or couldn't happen, and there's some reasons why.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'll say this. I'll say it's interesting because keep an eye on Boston going forward when you get near the playoffs. I think there could be a little bit of issues there because Linus Ullmark declined to trade to Los Angeles because he didn't want to because of geography reasons. So keep an eye on that. Usually when that, I know it's a guy's ripe for that to happen, but I think that can be a little bit of an issue down the line. If a team was trying to do something, there might be some locker room things going on there, but keep an eye on that.
So Danny Briere obviously spoke to the media like the general manager typically does at this point in the season, kind of go over the trade deadline, what their thought process was. I think you and I were both in agreement. The biggest thing that was of note is stuff that didn't happen, and that revolves around Scott Laughton. Obviously, he has been a forfeiture for this leadership locker room. He's the only guy with a letter on his jersey up until recently, obviously with Sean Couturier and TK getting the letter, Sean Couturier obviously getting the captaincy. So I'm very curious what this means for the future of Scott Laughton. Basically, what Danny Briere said was, I had a very open discussion with Scott Laughton. I needed a blowaway offer that was above market value for a guy like that to consider moving him. Didn't get it. So didn't make the move, didn't pull the trigger. And now you have Scott Laughton on your roster for the remainder of the season. I am always curious, and we have discussed this at length since we started this podcast, what the discussions you hear at the trade deadline sometimes do translate in the offseason the following year around around the draft and all that. Just because they didn't trade him today doesn't mean they're going to trade him in July. I'm very curious what the future of Scott Laughton does hold. He has not had a great season, in my opinion. He's had compared to last year especially, he was a big contributor. But again, he was kind of benefiting from the lack of talent from the team.
Correct.
Last season.
He's getting minutes. He had Martin Hansel syndrome.
So exactly. Yeah. It's a great comparison. So I think he is a great third, fourth liner for a playoff contender. Obviously, he's not going to be on one this season, well, except for the Flyers, obviously. But you could get some serious value for Scott Laughton. And I think, especially if the youth talent continues to develop at the pace that they are, he becomes expendable. And it's not a shot at him, but just because of how explicit and open Danny Briere was at the press conference earlier this week, I'm curious what is going to happen to Scott Laughton this offseason.
I don't know. After the comments yesterday from Danny Briere, I really don't know if they will move on from him. And it doesn't sound like they want to. Now, Danny did say something like, to the lines of, not this is 100% direct quote, but it's very close. Like, you know, he played with Scott Laughton. There's a special relationship there. He knows how Scotty is and stuff like that. But my view is this. I think that when you're talking about a team that's in a rebuild like the Flyers are, you always go back to that culture. It's not always about the on-ice piece. And it's not that they're attached to Scott Laughton emotionally. It's not emotional attachment to a player. I think it's that because of the leadership that he gives to those younger guys, that he's too valuable off the ice. And it negates what happens on the ice because, yes, he might not be scoring as many goals, but he can play in any segment of the game. so he's a good, reliable guy for, you know, for a younger player to kind of see, okay, that's what you want to aspire to. You want to aspire to a Scott Laughton. You want to be like him in the locker room. You want to be that type of leader. That sometimes is more important in the behind the scenes rather than what happens on the ice. I think with, yes, I know at the end of the day, you're paid to play hockey. You're paid to put up points and stuff like that. But people don't see the intangibles. And I, like, you know, take it from your everyday job. Like, you know, if you're listening to this, like, you know, I'm sure that some people out there, you know, I would hope anyway, that they go above and beyond and do more for their employer than, you know, than they're normally asked to do. And it's behind the scene things that you may not see, but they take care of it anyway. And that's important because you're all on the same team and you're all, you know, all trying to have a good culture. So my view is that I don't think they should move on from Scott Laughton. Let him ride the contract out. He is not hurting the team. He's not hurting the team. He's not, he's helping the team more than anything else because he's a core part of the culture change. He's a core part of the leadership, and he's going to be a piece that's really going to help develop the younger players. And that's exactly what Danny Briere said about my guy the other day, about Mark Stahl. You know, Mark Stahl hasn't had a great season, but you didn't bring him in here to play. You brought him in here to help rebuild. And now that he's on a, you know, he's on a playoff team, he's a guy where you can put him out in big situations in a playoff game and you can trust him because of his experience. So again, Scott Laughton's a similar type where you need a Scott Laughton type to win a Stanley Cup. You need that type of player on your team. So I'm really glad that Danny was open and honest with him and open and honest with the fans about it. And kudos to Anthony Sanfilippo for asking that question. I
and
think
getting his question answered.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. Big one. Yeah. I think that that's really important that you, when you talk about winning a Stanley Cup, when you talk about building a team, when you, an identity, a culture, everything, a lot of that comes from inside the locker room and the people you have in there. And if there's a term out there called right people, right seats. So if you're right people, right seats, then guess what? You're all moving in the right direction. So that's you're all rowing the boat in the same direction, and that's exactly what you need.
Yeah. We'll get into the extension for Nick Seeler and a few other things as we close out the pod this week. But as always, this episode of Orange and Backcheck is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Flyers versus Tampa Bay this week. Obviously, that's tonight on Saturday if you're listening. They're just on a big win against Florida, trying to ride the Sunshine Tour with that win against Tampa and continue to climb the polls. And they're only 1 point away from the over-under of 75 points for the Flyers this season on DraftKings. I hope you took the over just like I did. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with promo code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. He may be injured, Scott, but Nick Seeler was inked to a 4-year extension with the Flyers after going back and forth with him and Sean Walker of who is the expendable guy or tradable guy, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, the Flyers were blown away by Sean Walker in the first round pick that they got from Colorado and were happy to take that. So they went with Nick Seeler, the blocking machine that he is. I think this is a great contract. I think 4 years is a little long, but it makes up with the AAV. I think that's perfectly fine at the end of the day, because who cares if you have to move on at the last year, you can. And yeah, I think Nick Steele are similar, not to the extent that Scott Laughton brings, but Nick Steele is a great locker room guy from everything that you see. He plays hard. He gives out the body. Like we said, he leads the team in block shots. Torts is obviously a huge fan because of that kind of play. This is exactly when, especially because you're hurting at the blue line right now, literally hurting with these players out. I have no problem with this. I think it's a smart move by Danny Briere. 4 years, I think it was 2.6 on the AAV.
Yeah, 2.7. He's got some signing bonuses there too. Yeah,
you can't. If it's under three, I'm happier than a pig in shit. It's great.
Yeah, and the cap is going up too. Let's not forget that. It's a good deal for the Flyers. It really is. You have a guy on your third pair who can eat up minutes if needed, blocks a lot of shots. You know, there's a glue guy. He's going out there and he's doing the dirty work. He's doing the dirty work, and he is a guy who almost retired too. So. I think that people overvalue term sometimes, like, he's 30-something years old. Look, a lot of guys can play up to, 40 now. Like, you know what I mean? So being a 30-year-old playing hockey and blocking shots and stuff like that, it's, you know, you don't need to be – you're not a speedster, you know, and everything trying to do that. Just, you know, at some point I think it's actually a good term because 4 years of playing this style might break you down a little bit earlier. But the thing is, he's still going to go block shots and he's going to do that. I think that this is a good move for the Flyers. It just stabilizes their bottom pairing or their, you know, really their bottom pairing of the defense. And also, it gives you a good veteran presence back there because you're probably going to move on from Risto in the offseason. I hope with Risto, I hope he gets to play in the playoffs if they get it, because that's where his agent said that's where he has the value at. I want to see the value that Risto brings in a playoff series.
I don't think he's played a playoff game, has he? Because he's obviously was wasting his life away in Buffalo, who's correct, like just Buffalo. And obviously he came here at a tough time because they're trying to figure out what they are. They blew everything up, like you mentioned earlier. And then, yeah, I. It's a shame that he's – what is it, a lower body injury? I don't even remember what he
I'm not sure off the top of my head. But like he hasn't played in big games. He scored the game-winning goal in, you know, the World Junior Championships years ago. He scored the game in overtime. So, you know, the golden goal, he actually scored that goal. I forget what year it was. But, you know, that's – I want to see Risto. And because I think that has an opportunity to inflate his tires a little bit and over inflate his value, which I think would be pretty good for the Flyers. Obviously, you know, maybe package something up with that first round pick or next year, something like that, and get up to this year's draft or next year's draft or whatever. Or even just do it to you know, hold off. Even if you don't get a chance to retain salary, maybe you can get you a decent player in return or something of a team that's trying to do a cap dump. So I love the, not to take away from the, you know, the important part of re-signing Nick Seeler, but I think that this is a good move, and it's a good thing where the Flyers are going to have a bit of a younger defense, but at the same time, they're going to have a veteran presence back there that'll help them move in the right direction over the next couple of years.
It's not going to happen, it seems, but I did get a chuckle. I think it might have been Evil Gritty. I cannot remember on Twitter. Or X, whatever the hell. You know what? Fuck you, Elon Musk. I'm still calling it Twitter. It was a thing that's listen to, you hear Ryan Ellis's music as the team is about to make the playoffs and he gets activated from the LTIR. And that would be imagine that happening, like him and Risto coming down from the rafters, like at a WrestleMania event, going, ready, here we go. Yep. We're here for the playoffs, boys. Let's get going.
Would you trust, I think, the guy would be who hasn't played in 2 years, though?
Right. It's another very, very unfortunate that Ryan Ellis has had three games under his belt and that was it. And everything blew up. But
Danny Tartable of the Eagles, of the Flyers.
Yeah, exactly.
Danny Tartable fouled a ball off his foot in his first game as a Philly and missed the rest of the season.
As we continue to get closer, I think last I looked, according to Money Puck, the team has an 84, maybe a little bit higher chance of making the playoffs. A couple things that I want to discuss with that. I keep looking at, I literally am looking at the standings every day, especially after every game, obviously, just to see how they are matching up. They have the big boost because a couple of nights ago, probably about a week ago now, every team behind them lost or struggled, only got a point. Flyers continue to win. Even though they're only 4-4-2 in their last 10, they're keeping pace with the rest of the team. What I continue to go back to, and I think you probably do too, the biggest reason that I'm not, despite having games in hand for the Islanders, Washington, Devils are still lingering. They have a game in hand. I continue to go back to the goal differential. They are all in the negative. Mm-hmm. The Flyers are plus +5. That's mm-hmm. not great. It's good. It's not great, obviously. You're not competing up there with the Rangers and the Carolinas of the world, and that's fine for what you are as a team. But every time I look at that goal differential for these teams, like the Devils are minus -11. Washington, minus -27. New York Islanders, minus -14. Even Tampa Bay, who's holding on to that second wild card, minus -2. None of these teams concern me. In the sense that they're going to really press this team. They may catch them a little bit. It's not going to be to this extent, but it might be a little bit similar to 2010, where they're getting nipped at the heels or kind of shock back a little bit. They are going to be in the playoffs because of that goal differential. I am not concerned that this team is going to lose this, especially after these trades that they just made, where they got rid of Sean Walker, who's been a pretty big contributor to this team. I am always confident if you are a plus goal differential, even if it's just five like the Flyers, that is certainly, hot take here, certainly better than anything that those teams that I just mentioned are doing, because they're all in the negative. They don't scare me like I thought they would at the beginning of the season.
You know, Pittsburgh has kind of leveled out their plus +4, but Pittsburgh has no defense. And it seems they've given up. And you know what? Like, with trading Jake Guentzel, now think of that franchise. Kyle Dubas, you have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Erik Karlsson, and Chris Letang on one team, and you've done nothing with that. You've done nothing with it. And, you know, I understand that they were, you know, to come in here, it's you go and you get Michael Bunting for Jake Guentzel. Like, come on, dude. Like, you're Pittsburgh. I can understand if you're Sidney Crosby at this point. Like, you're probably like, yeah, I think it might be time to move on. Like, you know, you're not going to finish your season when you're that. Because, look, Crosby showed us last week when the Flyers played it. He's still going to play at an elite level. He had a 5-point night. Five or six. I think he had 5 points that night. But the Devils. So let's talk about this a little bit. So the Devils, they don't play well defensively, and they've had horrible goaltending this season between Akira Schmid and Vitek Vanacek. They got Jake Allen from Montreal. That's why I'm giving Danny Briere an A-. I would have liked to have seen Jake Allen behind Sam Ersson. Jake Allen is no longer a starter in this league. He's more of a number two, but he's a good veteran presence. And then they went out and they got Kaapo Kakkonen. So what's crazy is that they flipped goaltenders with San Jose twice this year because they traded Mackenzie Blackwood there in the offseason. And they go and they get Kaapo Kakkonen, who's quietly played well for the worst team in hockey. That's a little bit of an upgrade for them. But again, they still have a ways to climb. They're 8 points out with one game in hand. Washington, minus -27 goal differential. The reason they're minus -27 is because Ovechkin hasn't scored 27 more goals this year. He's having an off year. That whole team's off. Darcy Kemper's on the bench making a lot of money, not doing anything. They have Charlie Lindgren in goal, who's been a journeyman in goal. I don't see them making a push.
Yeah.
But the Islanders, they don't scare me. I'll say this. They don't scare me. At this point, it's a pipe dream for the Flyers to get into second place in division now. You're 6 points behind Carolina. They have two games in hand. And you're 10 points behind the Rangers. They have two games in hand. The Islanders scare me a little bit. And the reason why they scare me a little bit is because they're 6-2-2, and they've won five straight. And in their last 10, they're 6-2-2 in the last 10 and have won five straight. You have Patrick Waugh as a coach now. You have Lou Lamoriello, who was the architect of those Devils teams in the 90s. They have two games in hand on the Flyers, and they're only 4 points back. You're going to see a type of 2010 run here between like the Rangers and the Flyers, where this is going to be tight for them. The Islanders, they're not the best goal scorers, but they have very good goaltending in Ilya Sorokin and Semyon Varlamov. And defensively, they're pretty stout. And with Patrick Waugh there now, they're gonna get better. So they just traded away Anthony Beauvillier. I'm not sure what the return was, but I feel like that's something where they're gonna scratch and claw, and that's a team you're gonna really look out for, because I think the Devils at this point are probably a little too far back to really start making a push. Yes, they have 19 games left. They have basically a quarter of the season left to go. There's still a lot of time left. Yeah, with a new coach, you know, with Travis Green, who actually won a round in the playoffs with Vancouver in the bubble. Yep. There's an opportunity there where sometimes it can get you sparked a little bit. The Flyers have to mind their P's and Q's. And again, I go back to this, is that the only move I would have liked to see Danny Briere make is go get a goaltender. You have these teams nipping at your heels, and you really can't ride Urson all the way down because you don't want him to wear down. Now, again, I go back and I think of this when Tort says you can talk to guys into being tired. I understand that. But the thing is that you don't have a veteran presence behind him. Yes, you have a goaltending coach, you have everything, but sometimes you need that guy in the locker room. Now you're bringing Felix Sandstrom up, who's probably going to finish the year as the backup. Sandstrom gives them a better chance to win right now than Cal Peterson because of the way he makes save. But again, Sandstrom has been prone to giving up, not making a save when his team needs it to. So you run a little risk there. I mean, he played very well against Ottawa last week, and he made a lot of really difficult saves and tough saves. And he deserves an opportunity. I'm not saying that. But you've seen him give up the opportunity where it's like he needs to come up with a save there, and he had not come up with a save. That's why I'm nervous about seeing Sandstrom back up here. A veteran guy who's been around the block a little bit like Jake Allen can kind of rub off on Urson a little bit. But you know what? Maybe this is the strategy where, you know, and we guys get these push each other. Because I'll tell you what, after that game against Pittsburgh, Cal Peterson has played his last game as a Flyer. They cannot bring him back up. He cannot,
even though he's under contract for next season too.
Yeah, I know. He is not reliable in the sense he's a fine number two in the NHL. He's fine. He's a flat out number two and a half. Where he's at now is where he's at. Honestly, him and Sandstrom are about the same. Sandstrom just doesn't have as many games under his belt.
I looked this up. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many playoff games? NHL playoff games Cal Peterson played?
NHL playoff games? I think he's played two, hasn't he?
One.
I say it wasn't many because he had Johnny
what
Quick.
What was his goals against average
probably
on
probably
like
game? 6.
7.5.
Yeah, I would say it can't be good.
So, you're not losing anything. I have the same concerns as you. I want this team to get at least one playoff win now, or excuse me, one round win in a 7-game series. The concern is these young goalies. Playoffs are different. Urson's been very, very good.
Correct.
I just don't know how this is going to – NHL playoffs are way different. You can ride it. I don't think Torts gives a shit. I don't think Briere gives a shit.
I don't think they
care.
They're just riding
with what they have.
Right, and I think that – and I have a problem with that because it's the development piece, and I'm fine with it. Understand my perspective of how I view the goaltending position when it comes with this. Cal Peterson, the reason why he's down there is because his technique is just god-awful. He cannot move laterally well. He gave up a lot of bad goals in games where as an NHL goaltender, he needs to stop in that. And he's won games, yes, but that Pittsburgh game exploited all of his weaknesses. I don't care if you haven't played in a month, it exploited his technical weaknesses and they shredded him. That's the real Cal Peterson, unfortunately. Here's where I'm at and why I prefer to have a backup, because it's not so much of him to coming back, but it's a calming thing. Think about when we talk with John Van Beesbrook, and when he told us that, Bush came out, John, Bees, I needed you. You needed that veteran guy. Things are different nowadays where now it's more of a push type deal. And you need Urson to go through the development. The more and more I watch Urson play, the more confident I am in him, because it's not like his 5-hole goals. Things seem to be, shaping up after a couple weeks there. It looks like they've been working on that a little bit in practice because he hasn't been beaten through the legs so much over the last 2 weeks than it was the 2 weeks before that. But with it's more of the, and I understand that they like his mentality and he's a calm guy, easygoing and everything like that. But you're right, Bill, playoffs are different. And the thing is that you got to make sure that, if there starts to get cracks in the armor, that the armor doesn't break. And a calming effect has that with a veteran goaltender who's been through it. Someone like Jake Allen's like, I've been here. Just shake it off, move on to the next one.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they work well together, Sandstrom and Urson, and I'm sure that's fine. But again, it's a lot easier taking that from a veteran, a guy who's been through it, rather than just a teammate saying, hey, you got this, you know, who has on the same level of experience. And I just think from a mental standpoint that a veteran backup is worth the investment
for a young goaltender. I think it certainly helps that they're both Swedish. By the way,
yeah.
First time that they've been two Swedish goalies since Pelle Lindbergh. And that's a cool coincidence that Pelle's probably looking down and going, this is how the Flyers should be. Two Swedes.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I can let's see here.
You got your Lindbergh or there it is. Yeah,
Pelle right
31.
There. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
So
you know, and the thing is too that they're the Toronto, and this is why I hate him even more. They didn't put Martin Jones on waivers because they want the Flyers to claim him, apparently, according to Elliot Friedman. Toronto can go to hell, and I hope that you don't even make the playoffs, jerks. Because here's and not to digress, but to go back one little bit. I totally forgot this point. I apologize. Talking about the Islanders. The Flyers are 2 points ahead of the Red Wings and the Lightning. Mm-hmm. You do not want to get in a dogfight with them to try to get the last two wild card spots and go on points. You don't. Hold on to third place, okay? Yep. Let the Islanders battle out for that wild card spot. Because your best bet, and I know they've struggled against this year, I think that the Hurricanes, while they're a great scoring team, I don't know if they have what it takes against a team like the Flyers to get it done in a 7-game series.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I think we're going to leave it at that. That's going to be it. Leave it on that little cliffhanger there against
you got to tell everybody what.
Oh yeah,
why we haven't been on in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. So obviously this has been a little mini hiatus for us here at Orange Backcheck, and it's completely my dog's fault. Little bugger got very, very sick, got into something he should not have, was in the hospital since last Saturday. So their original plan to record pre-trade deadline last weekend got put on hold because I was literally sitting in a hospital waiting for my dog to be admitted / evaluated and all that fun stuff. He just got out of the hospital this past Thursday. He's doing okay. He's recovering nicely. We got to give him some medication over the next couple of weeks. But everyone that reached out on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, on my personal text, appreciate all of you for well wishes. He probably has learned absolutely nothing. This will probably be the next thing that he has done in the last 2.5 months or so. He's gotten into chocolate and he's gotten into ibuprofen. So he's batting 1,000 in terms of surviving the stuff that he should not be eating. Mm-hmm. So in one part, I'm like, this guy's just immortal and will live forever. And then the other part of me is like, he just doesn't care and will risk anything for his life. And I think it's the latter that he's really considering.
It could be. I'm really glad to hear our mascot Mowgli.
Unofficial mascot of Orange Backcheck. Yep.
I'm glad he's doing better. So, and the thing is, so everybody understands, we're a team. It's the Orange and Backcheck. It's Bill and I can't do a podcast without Bill. I won't do a podcast without Bill. And so if he's got that going on, sorry, everybody has to wait because we're a team and we handle this.
The funny part is if Scott ever did record an episode solo, he wouldn't know what to do with it because he doesn't know how to edit it.
That is factually untrue. I know how to edit. It's actually just pulling it. I have no idea.
So, yeah, but we're back on our normal cadence. We'll be back next week, as always, closing out these last couple of games here. I can't believe we are already 64. We're less than 20 games away from the end of the season.
Dude,
we're April 1st. Or excuse me, I think the last game of the season is April 7th. April 16th. Yeah. All right. So it goes to the middle. But day after tax day is the final game of the season. So against Washington.
A month out. We got four more episodes before we're playing. And in this next 4 weeks, the Flyers have a gauntlet of a schedule.
Including
and it's
a
meaningful
match-
hockey. Yep. Like, this is what you want.
Circle April 1st. That's their last matchup of the season at home against the New York Islanders. As you aforementioned, that's their team that's nipping at their heels, the biggest threat. It's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy it. Thank you, as always, for listening to Orange and Backcheck Podcast. Make sure you're following us everywhere and anywhere. All of the social assets, or excuse me, the social links are in the description below. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of that fun stuff. Shoot us an email, orangeandbackcheck@gmail.com. What are your thoughts on the trade deadline? Did they make the right moves? Were you leaving wanting more after the trade deadline from Briere? Let us know your thoughts. And until next week, catch you next time.
goddamn hate Toronto. Friggin' idiots. Fourth round pick. Can we stop bitching about fourth round picks?